You're listening to The Secrets of Doctor Who, episode number 12.
I'm a doctor. I've lived for over 2,000 years.
I am Scottish. I can complain about things.
Shush.
Welcome back to The Secrets of Doctor Who, and we are going to review the final episode already. Well, not really the final episode, because we still have the Christmas special to look forward to, but definitely the final episode of the regular eighth season of Doctor Who. And joining me today, Father Corey, Jimmy Akin, and Dom Bettinelli. That's it. The season is over. I can't believe how fast this went, but it was a lot of fun. And of course, we've all been kind of waiting for the final clues to discover what truly was going on, what were the plans of the Master, and how, of course, is the Doctor going to save the world?
Doctor, what are you looking at?
The clouds. Still there.
Oh, dear Lord!
There's a Cyberman out there on the fuselage.
In 24 hours, the human race, as you know it, will cease to exist.
Doctor!
It's happening everywhere. All over the world, right now.
Doctor Who, the series finale on BBC One and BBC One HD.
And that's what we all watched with bated breath. And of course, I am very curious to hear what you all thought of this final episode. But first, Jimmy, what happened in this last episode?
A lot. But briefly, here it goes. The episode begins with Clara with the Cyberman that she was in the room with, who was about to kill her, and she lies to him and tells him she's actually a high-value target. She's not Clara Oswald. Clara Oswald never existed. She's the Doctor. And at that point, we go to the opening credits, and in the opening credits, instead of Peter Capaldi's name zooming up, Jenna Coleman's name comes zooming up, followed by Peter Capaldi. And then instead of Peter Capaldi's eyes, Jenna Coleman's eyes come zooming up at us. And so they've just raised the possibility, is Clara really somehow another incarnation of the Doctor, mm-hmm. or is she just lying to save her life? Meanwhile, UNIT arrives outside, and the Cybermen outside of St. Paul's Cathedral, the Cybermen who were there escape. They go flying off. They create clouds over the entire Earth surface and start dropping cyber pollen. And meanwhile, in the nether sphere, Seb is talking with Danny and saying, things are shutting down here. It looks like we're all going back into the real world and we're going to have kind of upgraded bodies. Meanwhile, UNIT knocks out both the Doctor and Missy and takes them aboard a plane where the Doctor is told that he is now the president of Earth, that UNIT has protocols in place for a major alien invasion of this sort, and all power is being vested in his hands. So much to his horror, he discovers he is now a military leader, even though he spent all season tilting at soldiers. And he keeps doing that. He talks about how annoying it is to have people saluting him, and Kate says that her father, Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart, always wanted the Doctor to return a salute just once. There's also a Colonel Ahmed who is there that the Doctor dismissively keeps referring to as a man scout because of his uniform.
Yes.
We also get an image of the Chaplet funeral home where Danny Pink is coming back to life as a Cyberman. We then cut back to where Clara is trying to convince several Cybermen that she is actually the Doctor. She names some interesting facts, like, I've been married 4 times, all dead, I have a non-Gallifreyan half-daughter, and so forth, referring to earlier things in the series. And then the new Cyberman who's just arrived, and who we realize quickly is Danny, knocks her out and then kills the other 3 Cybermen. Let's see, we shift to a graveyard where she is waking up, and Danny reveals himself to her there as a Cyberman and begs her to activate a device on his chest, which he says is an emotion inhibitor, because he can't stand feeling the way he does right now. And she starts to do that. We have some intercutting back and forth to the plane. On the plane, Missy is tied up and is talking to Osgood, who is a kind of young, geeky assistant who is a big fan of the Doctor. She works at UNIT, Osgood does, and Missy invites Osgood over to tell her a secret, and the secret is, I'm going to kill you in 10 seconds. But she says, don't tell the boys. There are a couple of guards there. Don't tell the boys. This will be our secret girl plan. And she does indeed fulfill the promise of killing Osgood. The Cybermen attack the plane. And as this is happening, Missy, who seems to like Kate, nevertheless blows off a door of the plane and hurls Kate to her apparent death. Clara is phoning in from the cemetery to talk to the Doctor on the TARDIS phone, trying to get his help to enable the emotion inhibitor, which the Doctor tells Clara not to do under any circumstances. The plane ends up exploding, flinging the Doctor and the TARDIS toward the ground. But holding a TARDIS key, the Doctor is able to manage to make connections and get aboard the TARDIS and safely materialize it in the graveyard. Once there, Danny insists that even though he's a Cyberman and even though activating the emotional inhibitor will fully plug him into the Cyberman hive mind, he will never harm Clara. The Doctor then lets Clara use the sonic screwdriver to activate it so that Danny can reveal what the Cyberman's plan is. He needs to access the hive mind to figure that out. Danny reveals that the plan is for the clouds that are covering the entire world are going to rain down again and kill all living humans so that they also can be turned into Cybermen along with all of the dead who are in the process of being turned into Cybermen, though they're not all yet Cybermen and out of their graves. While this is happening, Missy appears and reveals her true purpose in creating this vast cyber army. It is not for herself. It's a gift for the Doctor. It turns out it's his birthday, even though he didn't realize it, and she's giving him this army as a birthday present. The reason is to prove that the two of them are not so different after all. She's tried to take over the world many times, and by giving the Doctor his own cyber army, he can finally go help all of those people who are like suffering in Dalek labor camps and things like that, and use his army for good, thus proving that he's not so different from the Master after all, which is what she really wants. This gives the Doctor a moment of clarity as he thinks about it. And he concludes, nope, he doesn't need a cyber army. He's just an idiot with a box and a screwdriver passing through, helping out and learning. He then gives the control bracelet to Danny, and Danny and the other Cybermen leave to detonate themselves and destroy the clouds. Missy then reveals the location to the Doctor of where Gallifrey is. She previously said she knew where it was, but hadn't told him, and now she tells him the coordinates, which turn out to be its original coordinates. She says it went back to where it belonged. Didn't you even think to check? Clara then insists on killing Missy because of all the horrible things she's done and all the people she's killed. And the Doctor tries to stop her, but Clara says, if she doesn't die, then everything that happened today is on you. And the Doctor is willing then, in order to stop Clara from killing the Master, he's willing to kill her himself. And Missy comments on this saying, oh, you're willing to do this to save her soul. But who's going to save your soul? And just as he's getting ready to kill Missy, she seems to disintegrate, apparently because a neighboring remaining Cyberman has shot her. The Cyberman then gestures to a spot on the lawn in the cemetery where they go and discover Kate, who, even though she was thrown out of a plane, has survived. And the Doctor says that's impossible. She couldn't have survived a fall like that. The Cyberman must have caught her. And he then realizes, because she's muttering about her father, that the Cyberman who just shot the Master and who rescued Kate is, in fact, Brigadier Lethbridge Stewart in Cyberman form. He then salutes the Brigadier, which is what the Brigadier always wanted, and he flies off. 2 weeks later, we're in Clara's apartment, and a portal opens up from the Nether Sphere, and she hears Danny's voice. Danny says the Nether Sphere is dying, and there's only enough power to send through one person back to the real world. And he's sorry, but he has prior commitments, and so he sends through the Afghani boy, who we learned in the previous episode he had accidentally killed. And he says, get him back to his parents. He died a long time ago. And so he had previously, wronged this boy, and so now he's making good on that, even though it means he can't be with Clara. We cut to a restaurant where the doctor and Clara are meeting, and before Clara can explain what's actually happened, the doctor assumes that Danny used the device to get himself back to the real world, and now she's going to be with Danny and is saying goodbye to the doctor. And the doctor then tells her that's okay, because guess what? Missy wasn't lying. He found Gallifrey. But in a cutaway, we see him going to those coordinates and finding nothing, and then enraged, smashes the TARDIS console because Missy actually lied to him. And so in a kind of mixed up, trying to be nice to each other way, both Clara and the doctor end up lying to each other to spare each other's feelings. Clara believes that Gallifrey is there and the doctor can go back to it. The doctor believes Danny is with Clara and thus she needs to stay with him. So they part company on this bittersweet note. Finally, the doctor willingly accepting a hug from Clara.
Yes.
And then the credits roll. And then the credits are interrupted. And the doctor is in the TARDIS alone, moping, and he hears someone knock four times. And a voice says, it's not okay. It can't end like this. And then Santa Claus enters the TARDIS and says, what do you want for Christmas? And the credits finish.
That was indeed a massive surprise.
What a teaser. Notice they messed with us in both the opening and the closing credits. Yes. Because we had Clara fake out as the doctor in the opening credits with her eyes and everything. And then we had the Santa Claus thing in the closing credits.
Yes. And it keeps you on the edge. Now we all want to see, of course, the Christmas special, which is, of course, exactly what they intended to do. Dom, you mentioned that Melanie, your wife, saw the Doctor Who for the first time this season. Seeing how much they crammed into this one episode, how did you feel about that?
Well, we both agreed that it would have been better if they'd made this into two episodes. This was, the first, so the episode before this, the Dark Water was fine, but this episode just felt rushed. The previous one, there was action-packed, but this just felt like the story got rushed and so much was done. I wasn't as happy with this one as I was with the other, although there were elements to this that were really great. And I think the interplay between Clara and the Doctor and Danny, it reached its crescendo. The arc of these three characters together really reached a point where I thought a good resolution for where the three of them were. I'm sad to see Danny go, if indeed he is gone, because anything's possible in Doctor Who, really. But I really feel like Danny's arc really reached its point where. Again, we've seen this several times recently, where the love of a good man for a good woman conquers all. We saw this with Rory and Amy, and we see it again here, where it's Danny's love for Clara that saves the universe. The Doctor doesn't save the universe per se. It's not anything else, but it's Danny who saves the day. And I think that was such a great moment in this episode.
And that true love is like a promise. I love that line, and that actually it's stronger than the dominion of the hive mind that controls all those Cybermen. And it's the love of Danny that protects Clara, and it's also the love of the Brigadier for his daughter that is apparently surviving this whole kind of Borgification of the dead.
There were some definite Christian themes here too. I know that Moffat is famously atheist, but the idea that it's the army of the dead, in this case the literal dead, but that save the living, where from a Christian perspective we believe that the army of the saints in heaven you know, they fight for us with their prayers. I mean, I thought that was such a great connection to this idea of the dead are not gone from us. They are connected to us. And then even in this moment where Missy offers this army, she offers all the powers of the created world to the Doctor, which reminded me so much of The Temptation of Christ in the Desert. That actually came from my wife, thank you for the credit. But she told me I had to, and I'm a smart man. It's the temptation of Christ, and he kind of turns it on its head. You know, this I'm not a good man. You know, Missy wants to make good out to be just as bad as evil when the end justifies the means, and he just turns around and says, "I'm an idiot. Who am I? You offer this to me?" And he just kind of and he turns it all around on its head and says, "You know, here's where a truly good man is," and he hands all the power to Danny. He says, "Danny's the good man." Clara has never been, he kept mocking Clara throughout this, that she's not really good. He never really was really convinced of his own goodness, but he knew all along that Danny was the good man, even when he wasn't quite admitting it, and it was Danny that he gave all the power to, and Danny proved to be the good man.
Mm-hmm. I think Clara is way too much like the Doctor, or has become too much like the Doctor, so he knows she can't be just totally good.
Two of them lying to each other at the end of the episode, and thus both being lonely and not having each other because they were misguidedly lying to each other and trying to spare each other's feelings. If they had told the truth, they'd still be traveling together.
Yes. Well, and it was also a way to basically let the other go and give the other the freedom back to go on with their lives. And there was something almost a bit of a sacrifice in lying. It's like, okay, I would like to tell you the truth, but I'm not going to, so you can move on.
And we know that has to happen with every companion. At some point, there has to be a parting of some kind. And this was, I thought, an interesting way to do it, even though she still appears to be coming back for at least the Christmas special.
I hope so.
While we're talking about religious themes in this, I wanted to mention two, one of which I thought they got really right, and one of which I thought they was much more problematic. We've already talked about the afterlife and how, this doesn't end up challenging that. But one thing that I thought they got absolutely right was the bit about love. Because in our society, we think of love as an emotion. Mm-hmm. And if you're not having these warm, positive feelings, you're not in love. But that's not what real love is. That's just a feeling. What real love is a choice.
Yeah.
It's a choice to will the good of the other person and to work for the good of the other person. And the Doctor doesn't articulate it exactly that way, but that's what he's saying when he says love is a promise.
Yes.
And that's really what it is, because when you're really loving someone, you're promising to work for their good. You're willing to do their good, even if you don't feel happy or exactly.
That's why it subsides, even though the emotion chip is turned off.
Right, because he's chosen to do this.
Exactly.
The other thing, which I thought was a more problematic, is where I like the fact that Missy's talking to the Doctor about he's willing to shoot her, Missy, in order to save Clara's soul, but who's going to save your soul? And there's a recognition there. Even if the characters don't take this as literally saving someone's soul in the Christian sense, there's a recognition that taking innocent life or taking life is problematic, and the Doctor is wanting to shield Clara from that, and that's true, and there's an element of goodness there. But properly speaking, it wouldn't really shield her from that, because she's the one demanding Missy's death. And if you're consenting to an act, then you're doing it in your heart. Mm-hmm. And so he's not really able to shield Clara from taking the Missy's life. Clara is still taking Missy's life in her heart.
A bit almost a parallel to what happens in the beginning of Dark Water, where, even though it turns out to be all a mirage, or
she betrays him in her heart.
She does betray him. He doesn't really seem to mind that much.
He had that weird line about, "Do you think I care about you so little that betraying me would matter?"
Well, but actually, I love that phrase.
I thought it was the best line of that episode.
Yes, because it showed, and it's something that they really wrap up very nicely in this episode. It shows that Clara is no longer just a companion. It's what the Doctor later says. She's truly a friend. And you forgive friends. And so even if there's betrayal on one side, true friendship, again, is not just a feeling. It's not based on the merits of the other. It is a choice. It's a promise. And that's kind of what I felt the Doctor did here. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know what? You're my friend, no matter what.
I appreciate the fact that he forgave her, but I thought the line was a little glib. On one hand, I like it, but on the other hand, I think they're doing a writer's trick known as hanging a lantern on a problem. And because really, and that's what happens when something really implausible happens, you just have someone note it and then you can move on with the plot. And I think that's what's happening here, because if she had really betrayed him and tried to deprive him of the TARDIS forever, stranding him somewhere forever, he wouldn't be nearly so quick to forgive her.
Yeah, perhaps it's easy for him to forgive because it was all virtual. And if it was real, then perhaps it felt differently. Father Corey.
One thing that kind of struck me throughout, it really kind of came to a head here in this, but it's kind of throughout the season as you look back, that the darkness that every little lie kind of added to, you know, in the beginning of the season, it was kind of a rare thing that Clara would tell the lie. But by the end, the Doctor even says, you've gotten really good at lying. He kind of explicitly mentions that. And that as she goes along, the lies got easier and easier and easier, and she got better at it and better at it and better at it. And it was kind of a leading up to that final scene where they both just basically lie to each other, like you said, to try to save each other's feelings misguidedly. And it was just kind of interesting how that built throughout the season, at least as I saw it.
Yeah, the Doctor even alludes to, I forget the exact line, but it's something like, there's nothing left to see, no one left to lie to, or something like that. And I'm hoping that Stephen Moffat is going to do something similar to what he's done before when he's really played out a theme. Because for a while he had this theme of the Doctor being so famous that he could just cow his opponents into inaction by overawing them with his reputation. And he realized you can't continue that theme forever. The Doctor can't just continue to walk in and stun everybody into inaction. That's going to be bad for the series. And so he ended up deliberately dismantling the Doctor's giant reputation and making him smaller again. So he's no longer too big anymore, in Matt Smith's words. Yes. And he similarly, he started with rule one, the Doctor lies, back during the Matt Smith period. And now they've really ramped that up this season, and so I hope that he's going to throw the lever in the opposite direction and start getting away from that, because I think they've kind of played it out.
This season was really also used as a real nice setup for the next season. I think that I'm pretty convinced that Peter Capaldi will stay on another year, something that we weren't sure of. And I think they've nicely kind of prepared the next season, especially with the whole theme of Gallifrey. And where is Gallifrey and this sadness of the Doctor of not finding it. You know, he lost his home. And even though they make him president of the Earth, he couldn't care less, because you know what?
That great scene where the Doctor goes down into the cargo hold with the Master and the TARDIS, and he goes, "You all those schemes where you tried to take over the world, it was easy." You know, of course, they introduce him as the president. It was easy. Right.
I was thinking of another line earlier where he says, "I'm no president," and he's actually been president of Gallifrey before,
really,
like twice.
Wow!
And both times he ended up refusing to serve, but he's technically been president twice before.
Amazing!
I found this the least plausible part of everything in this episode was that 200 world leaders would agree on one thing, and that one thing would be to give up their power to one man
and to the Doctor, an alien.
By the way, something that happened on the plane that I kind of glossed over earlier, but I thought was really well executed, was the scene between Missy and Osgood, where she kills Osgood.
Yes, and we have to pay homage to Ingrid Oliver, who plays Osgood.
Yeah, and I really after her initial scene in the episode where she comes up and pretends to take a picture of the Doctor and Missy, mm-hmm. big smiles. And, I mean, there was just something so likable about yes. her in that scene. Oh. And then in her subsequent scenes, it's like, whoa, I really felt her death. I didn't want her to die.
No, it broke my heart. And I already liked her appearance in The Day of the Doctor, you know, with the scarf, which was a reference to the Tom Baker Doctor Who. And now she has the bow tie. It's like, how cool is that?
Well, bow ties are cool.
Well, just as the Doctor had promised her, you know, sort of given her a bucket list promise to take her on the TARDIS, and then they kill her. I thought that was an especially cruel way to kill her off. I know a number of – I mean, she really – you know, there are a couple of characters who often represents the fans. You know, they show mm-hmm. up and they're fans of the Doctor within the Doctor's universe, but also you represent us as the fans.
Good
and
point.
I thought Osgood was one of them, and I thought that was a particularly difficult situation to see Osgood get killed off.
That's probably why it hurt so much, because you're like, you're killing off me.
Exactly. They killed the audience surrogate.
Yes. I hope they'll bring someone back who kind of resembles her, or perhaps she might have been uploaded and she gets downloaded again. Which brings me to my big, big question. How does that work? How can you turn skeletons that have been rotting in the ground for years? How can you turn them into metallic Cybermen that have, like, shoes with rockets and everything? Was it ever explained, or is it just technology from another realm?
It's explained, kind of. The rain that initially falls from the clouds that then seeps into the graves, the Doctor explains, is nanotech.
So
you have tiny little robots assembling the Cybermen and doing whatever repairs are necessary on the corpses.
That's kind of what I assumed.
It's still really implausible, but they hung a lantern on it.
Oh, probably, yes. And then, of course, we need to talk briefly about the Brigadier, who makes such a, you know, has a very important role at the end of this episode. And what I liked about it is this is a very old character in the Doctor Who history, isn't it?
Yes, he goes all the way back to the time of the Second Doctor. And he was particularly prominent in the time of the Third Doctor, when the Third Doctor, John Pertwee, was exiled to Earth by the Time Lords and couldn't use the TARDIS. Mm-hmm. And so they had a lot of unit-based episodes, and the two of them were very close. He subsequently reappeared a number of times in the series. And if you remember, when the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith, was getting ready to go to his apparent death at Lake Silencio, he was having this kind of frantic last runaround trying to deny the reality that he needed to go there. And the thing that finally convinced him to go there was when he phoned up the nursing home where Brigadier Stewart was, only to find out that he had passed. And it was that being confirmed, and this was right after Nicholas Courtney, the actor who played the Brigadier, had passed. And
so
it was that confrontation with death that convinced him to go and face his own mortality.
Well, that is stunning. I mean, what an homage to that actor as well, to give him such an heroic way to end this season. I mean,
it's interesting the contrast between the Brigadier and the Doctor, the new Doctor, Peter Capaldi's Doctor's opinion of soldiers, because I think you could say throughout the series, the Brigadier was the Doctor's closest human friend.
Yes, yes.
Because they always, you know, that character appeared with every single of the classic Doctor Who Doctors. So the first seven Doctors, appeared with them. Well, kind of, sort of, in the five Doctors.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay.
It was a whole other issue there, but wasn't the same actor, but it was the character.
Absolutely.
So, but it had been, you know, and spoken of very fondly, as much as they would fight and argue, spoken very fondly of the Brigadier, and was very much beloved by the Doctor.
It was a great way to end the season, but wait, it's not finished yet, because ho ho ho, who is there? That people awakening, alien-like creature, snow?
It's Christmas, the North Pole. Who are you gonna call?
Who are you gonna call? Well, that's very simple. Santa Claus! And that, of course, is what is so reassuring for all of us who are so sad that this all too short series 8 is now over. We have Christmas to look forward to. Now, there are many reasons to look forward to Christmas, but I'm looking forward to this Christmas special. I think it's going to be truly special, and we will be back as well with our full discussion and evaluation review and all the Easter eggs. Can you say Easter eggs for a Christmas episode? Christmas eggs. And so that is for you a reason to stay tuned, to stay subscribed to this podcast, to this show. We thank you for listening to all our discussions, sometimes rambling, but we also really appreciated your support and your feedback throughout this this eighth season. I want to thank all my co-hosts, Father Corey, Jimmy, Dom, and of course Stephanie, who couldn't join us today, but will certainly be back for our discussion of the Christmas special. I'm Father Roderick from the Netherlands, and we will be back.
When will I see you again?
Soon, I expect. Or later. One of those.